biblical judiciary. And today we're going to talk about what is justice to God. Now, justice, when you talk about it in the context of God, it is His very nature. God is a just God, and justice and the righteous and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. So justice and righteousness are inextricably linked to each other. So for God, justice is righteousness. And this is why you would find many times within scriptures, the word justice and righteousness are always together. And this is because God is a righteous judge. So it's not about the rights of someone. And you have to listen to, you know, to what I'm sharing carefully. And next week, again, we will highlight this. It's not just about the rights of someone. It is about what is the righteousness of God in every circumstance. Now, the four areas that I just want to broadly define today, firstly, when we talk about what we call legislative justice, that which is bound by laws, precepts that are written down, and within the scriptures, legislative justice requires us to conform to what we call God's moral law. I covered this in a previous session as well. And these moral laws are recorded for us in the scriptures. Now, earthly justice system requires us to conform to the laws of the land. And these laws are there to protect the citizens, and it is enforced by a legal system or a judiciary, so that the rights of citizens are met. Now, when you talk about legislative justice in the context of the scriptures, it is governed by moral law. So when you read, for instance, the Ten Commandments, the latter part of the commandments in Exodus 20, verse 12 to 17, will talk to you about honoring your father and your mother. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not bear false witness, you must not covet what is your neighbor's. So while there is a legislative law, it is also ethically and morally correct so that we live in harmony and peace with fellow humanity. So if you take the legislative laws according to God, and you look at those commandments, it is about you living in peace with humanity and living in harmony with one another. I want to read a text from the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse number 26. It says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man, now, what does that refer to? The Jew, excuse me, was circumcised, and the Gentile, which are all of us, were uncircumcised. For the Jew to be regarded as a Jew, he would follow what we call the Abrahamic covenant, and he would circumcise himself. But here, Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says, if an uncircumcised man, meaning one who is not a Jew, one who is a Gentile, keeps the righteous requirements of the law, meaning he keeps the moral law, he does not murder, he does not steal, he does not covet, he honors his mother and his father. This is what Paul says, will not this uncircumcised person be counted as circumcision? That means we, as Jews who are the circumcised, we keep the law, but this person who is uncircumcised, he is doing the same thing, but yet he is not a Jew. So Paul is saying, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? So what is he saying is, even the unsaved have morals. They have ethics. Many of them do not steal. They do not bear false witness. They do not commit murder. They honor their mother and father. They do all of the moral and ethical things that are within the scriptures. And basically, they are following the righteous requirement of the law. So this is all of humanity who can do what we call, in our eyes, the right things. Morally and ethically, they are doing the right thing. So legislative justice is where God looks at the morals and ethical values of individuals. But that's not enough. We'll get into that a little bit more. There's also God's what we call distributive justice. And this is, he deals with us according to the requirements of the law. So for instance, when you honor your parents, the Bible says it will be well with you, or you will have long life. This is God's distributive justice, meaning that it's based on merits and rewards. It can also be called remunerative justice because he distributes rewards to us. James 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So in his distributive and remunerative justice, God rewards us when we keep the morals and the ethics and we abound within within those laws. We find that God rewards us accordingly. But most people are interested in what is called punitive justice. They want perpetrators to be punished for their crimes. They want someone to pay for what they did. This would be regarded as wanting vengeance. Or they would say, "We want justice." But their justice that they want is punitive action. And it inflicts punishment upon those who are the transgressors or those who are regarded as perpetrators. But remember that God, in his punitive justice, he also shows mercy. Now, that's the part that a lot of people cannot handle. Biblical judiciary is different from the legislative judiciary that we are used to in the world. This is what makes biblical judiciary different. So let me give you a case study from Genesis chapter 4. All of us know the story of Cain. And Cain did something that would be regarded as unforgivable. He killed his brother, Abel. And now, put yourself in that situation where if your brother was killed, what justice would you want? You would want punitive justice. You would want someone to pay for their crimes. Now listen to the story carefully. Genesis 4:13, and Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Okay? My punishment is greater than I can bear. And the punishment that God gave him is that Cain would no longer live in the presence of God, and that whatever he did will not become successful. And it says in verse 14, "You have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." Now, when God sort of, in our terms, punished Cain for what he did, listen to verse 15. "And the Lord said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be on him sevenfold.' And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." Now, when you read that part, that is called the mercy of God. The first part would be regarded as the punitive justice that we would want, where we want to see the person suffer for what he did. But look at the mercy of God. The mercy of God is that no one was allowed to kill him. So, you see, whenever we view punitive justice, there's always God's mercy that's attached to it. This is what biblical judiciary is about. That while there is punitive action, there is also the mercy of God. So when you look at justice and righteousness, don't forget that God is a merciful God. That even though you might face your punishment, but there's always the mercy of God that is extended to us. And we have several examples of that in the scriptures. Time will not permit me to go through all of that. Now, human justice is our conduct in relation to the rights of other people. Everyone's rights must be equally regarded. And in the laws of Moses, the Israelite, the foreigner, the sojourner, the rich and the poor, they were all treated fairly and equally. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 16:20, "You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Basically, he's saying everything must be fair. So human justice is based on fairness and giving people what is right. The Judaistic legal system was a matter of giving each man what he earned. And even Israel, in a time when they were being persecuted by other nations, they wanted justice from God, but they wanted human justice. In Isaiah 40:27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord?" And this is what they said, "My just claim is passed over by God." That means God is not giving us the justice we want. Now, in human justice, while we seek justice for others, the justice that we seek for others is to bring relief to the oppressed. In Isaiah 1 verse 17, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." Now, I want to conclude with Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 11 to 17, and you can read it also in your own time. I will paraphrase. Jeremiah prophesies about the son of a king called Josiah. The king's son's name is Jehoahaz, and he has an alias name which is referred to in this particular portion, which is called Shalem. And this is what Jeremiah says. He says, "For thus says the Lord concerning Shalem, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah, his father." He says, "He shall not return here anymore, but he shall die in the place where they have led him captive." And this is what it says. "Woe is him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar." And this is what God says, "Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in your beautiful house? Did not your father," listen to this, "did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? He judged the cause of the poor and the needy, and then it was well." You see, Josiah as a king, he did justice and righteousness, and he judged the poor and the needy, and the Bible says it was well. But his son was doing an injustice to the people. His son was not treating his people well, and so he built bigger houses and he built better palaces for himself, and he thought that he would be protected from all of that. Now, what's the point for us? Yes, two generations. The first generation showed justice and righteousness, and it was well. The second generation was living off the wellness of the first generation, but not doing the righteousness and the justice of the first generation. They took whatever their father built, and they built bigger houses, but forgetting that it was built on the foundation of righteousness and justice. You see, human justice is no longer about the rights of others, but it's just about our own rights. This is contrary to the justice of God. Matthew 5:38, listen to the verse. If you heard, you have heard what it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, this is not advocating that you must allow yourself to be abused and being taken advantage of by others. What it highlights is the self-denying nature that is intrinsic to the following of Christ. While we want justice for ourselves, we always seek out punitive justice. But God's justice, remember this, God's justice is redemptive. It is not punitive. We see this in God because he is a just God. But listen, he is also a savior. God is our judge, but he is also a father. Please join us next week as we continue.